going to wake everybody up by asking one question. How do you get whatever you want?
Ask.
Exactly, yeah, ask. So ask is the first step. So I have been a real estate investor in the US for many years. When 2022 hits, the interest rate skyrocketed. The old method, which is buy, rehab, refinance, and repeat, does not work anymore, right? Because the interest rate alone is already 5-6%, and your margin is getting squeezed, that method doesn't work. So I started by asking myself, where else in the world where I can still find low enough interest, where the market is stable and still growing, I can still get good cash flow and capital gain, so I can still utilize my burn method. So I searched everywhere, and then finally I found the answer, which is Tokyo, Japan. So in 2023, I started shifting my focus into Tokyo market, mainly by acquiring apartment buildings. So those are the great assets, can still give me great cash flow with leverage, as well as a good amount of capital gain. Because I think everybody knows the land price in Tokyo has been rising steadily, as well as the rent. So the rent has been stagnated for the past 20, 30 years, which is true, but not anymore. Inflation has definitely come to Japan. We have seen the rental rate in Japan all over has been steadily going up and up. So no rent growth is not true anymore. Okay, so when I first moved to Japan, I thought to myself, should I buy a place so where I can spend maybe 1 or 2 months of the year and rent out the rest of the time? Or should I just buy something that can be rented out the whole year and just pure for investment purposes? So between those two options, I know number one probably is not going to work for me. If I buy a place, rent it out partially as Airbnb, probably what happens is when everybody else wants to book the days, and it's also the time that I want to use it. So that does not work, right? And then the second option, if it's for purely investment, then I don't get a place to stay. That does not work for my purposes either.
I'll just pause you for a split second. Because you're using an adapter there, the people on the stream can't see your slides. So our option is, it's not your fault, it's just tech shit. So the option is, I can either give you my PC to present from, or we can just go wide and they'll see both you and the slide in a slightly lower resolution. Which do you prefer?
Oh, we use this one. We use this one.
Go you wide. Want to keep using this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so just go wide. Yeah. Okay, carry on, sorry.
Okay, so there's two options, right? One is you buy a place, rent out partially, and stay there 1 or 2 months of the year. The other one is like just full investment property, you don't get to stay. What if there's a third option that satisfy my need, that I get to stay there for any time I want, nobody else can book it, and it gets paid for by the rest of the units. Here's what I discovered. Get other people to pay for a unit, which is buy apartment buildings. So back then, this deal, of course, does not exist anymore because it's 3 years ago. Land price and labor price has gone up a lot. So I went on the website. This is a typical single-family home in Shinjuku, which costs about $1 million. So it's 150 million Japanese yen, which is equivalent to somewhere $1 million US dollars. You can buy a single-family house for about, the land is about 58 square meter. It's about like two SLDKs. But for the same amount of money, which is about $1 million, you can buy apartment buildings, give you 12 units, and all of the 12 units, I can reserve one for myself. I can use all year long, anytime I want. And also, if financed on its own, the rest of the 11 units pays for the one unit. So here's a comparison I did. The price is similar. It's all cost about $1 million. Closing costs, very similar. The total investment summarized to about $1 million. And the loan I got is 60%. So the down payment will be somewhere around 400K US dollars. So for 400K US dollars, I'll be able to get apartment buildings, reserve one for myself, and have the rest of 11 units, the rent comes in, to pay for my unit. So here's a specific math. The total amount of loan equals to about 90 million Japanese yen, which is somewhere around 600K. And the interest rate back then was a lot lower. It was about 2.2% 3 years ago. Right now, it's somewhere around 2.7%. And the term is about 30 years, so very similar to the U.S. Mortgages, 30 years. So the monthly payment comes out to 365K Japanese yen, which is equivalent to only 2,400 U.S. dollars. That's your monthly payment for like either a single family or for the 12 units buildings. And then let's look at the monthly income. So for the typical single families, you can probably rent it for 250K Japanese yen, which is equivalent to maybe somewhere around 1,800 U.S. dollars. Whereas for 11 units, assuming each one only gets you 55,000 yen per month, because you have 11 units here, I did not count for 12 units, only count for 11 units, this is how much I'm going to get. So it's a big difference when you have multiple units compared to just one unit. And I spread out I equaled around 12 months, which gives me, this is the monthly income, and I times into 12, and in the end, it gives me the income. So if by owning this 12 units, only rent out 11 units, it gives me a monthly income of 70K Japanese yen, whereas if I own just one unit, I still have to put in the negative. I have to put in cash in every month. So that's a really math I did to realize, okay, maybe buying multiple apartment buildings, or in Australian English as a block of units, will help me achieve my dream. Okay, so everybody knows how Warren Buffett bought into Japanese stock market, right, back in 2020 when the pandemic happened. But not many people know how he financed his deal, right? Does anyone know? So my answer is here. Warren Buffett raised a lot of Japanese yen debt. Basically, he used his credit line to just borrow from the Japanese bank at a very, very low interest rate, which is between 1% to 2%. And then he used his borrowed money to turn it around and buy dividend-paid stocks at so he's getting a return for 4% to 5%. And the result is that he's creating a very positive carry, meaning he's using very low cost of debt and getting paid 5% in cash, which he just gains kind of indefinitely over time, right? As long as you have the debt and as long as the stock is earning your dividend, you create the gap that you keep earning this 3% to 4% interest. So what essentially we can utilize in real estate is that we borrow from the bank at a very low percentage, and we get a good yield from the renters. Then we create a gap in terms of carry. So that's essentially utilize the strategy Warren Buffett had as individual investors. So let's look at why to invest in Japan. Like I mentioned earlier, that Japan has a really good of yen has been weakened in the past few years, and it has hit a very historical low point. And dollar, if you have dollar, then right now is the best time to probably convert your dollar into a Japanese yen. So not only you can get steady cash flow and capital gain, on top of that, you can probably get potential currency gain as well. Depends on how the yen goes, right? And next, we can look at the new market update from JLL. So JLL is a leading commercial real estate broker. They publish this kind of report every single quarter to compare all the big cities in the world. And of course, Tokyo has been a winner in this past quarter, Q4, in comparison to the big cities from the rest of the world. Tokyo had a whopping of 64 16.5% of gross in terms of rent. Sorry. Okay, now it's back. Yeah, so the growth rate has been the leading among all the international biggest cities in the world. It's a very healthy and stable market in terms of rent growth. And also in terms of transaction volume, Tokyo is second right after New York City. The inflow for from the whole year was about $28 billion. So that's a good trend to follow. All the biggest investors in the world, they're pouring money into Japan because they know that Japan has a good market. If you look at the trajectory, that it's going upward. So meaning it's already going through this bottom and starting to keep growing. And also as a landlord, we know one of the headaches that you have to deal with tenant. Whereas in Japan, one of my favorite parts is that you have this rent guarantee insurance where it's hard to find anywhere else in the world, meaning the tenant has to buy the insurance. If they ever stop paying, the insurance company will pay landlord. So it almost looks like a guaranteed payment. It's like insurance policy. Make sure a landlord gets paid no matter what. So that's, as a landlord, you're very assured. Whereas in the US, if you ever been a landlord, you have sometimes, even if your tenants stop paying you, you still have to pay them to move them out of their house and pay them even more to just leave. That's that. All right, next. Where do I find deals in Japan? In terms of locations or website? Here it is. The rule of thumb is that don't buy anything that you heard the name, such as Shibuya or Shinjuku. Those are super, super central Tokyo area. Those are probably not cash flow anymore because it has become too expensive. So what we need to do is buy something that's in somewhere the Tokyo 23 ward, the name that you never heard of, such as Katsushika-ku or Adachi-ku or Otaku. Those areas outskirts of the central Tokyo area still has some land that's available and also at a reasonable price you can purchase and still cash flows, as well as has potential good capital gains. So those are the outskirts area we should be looking at if your goal is for looking for investment property. But of course, if you look for a primary resident, it doesn't really matter, right? Just where you really, really want to live. Also, as to website, when I first started looking, I went through all the websites like At Homes or Sumo or Nifty's or Home.com. And also, as well as for apartment building investment, there's a couple of major websites like Kenbia or Lakumachi. Those are all the areas I have to go on every day to look for deals. And in the end, I got really tired, so I asked my friend to build a website for me, which combined all of the website into one. So whenever it's, no matter if you want to look for your personal or vacation home or investment homes, I have it all in the one website right here, Sequoia Real Estate. So we divide it into two sections. One is if you're for personal or like vacation house use, this is one section. Or if you're looking for investment property, there's another section for like only rentals. All right, next, what type of property we should be investing in Japan? There's so many different type of properties, right? Like standalone homes or condos or like some houses doesn't even have ownership. You just own the building, you don't own the land. So what type should we invest in? Or should I invest in the long-term rentals or should I invest in short-term rentals? I think Xu already covered this in his presentation, whereas if you want to invest in Airbnb short-term, you have to be really looking through all the rules, especially for Tokyo. There's so many different rules for different ward. Some ward only limit to 180 days operations and only on weekends. So you really have to call the municipal office to look up whether this is a good place to operate Airbnb or not. Whereas compared to short term, the long term and monthly rental could be very simple. There's no restrictions on where you can do long term rental or midterm rental, as well as there's no tax on the total rental income. So that's one of the benefits of having long-term rental. Whereas short-term rental, you have to pay all sorts of taxes, such as hotel taxes and also sales tax, consumption tax on the short-term rental income. Next will be management need. For long-term or monthly rentals, the management need is very minimal. If you have a good property managers, usually you don't even spend like 20 minutes per month. Whereas for short-term rentals, even though you have a good property manager, sometimes you have to manage the manager because there's so many decisions need to be made. Like, what if your tenants has some noise and neighbor complain, they call the police officer, and you have to be able to deal with that when it comes to complaints. Or something broke or some incident happens on site, you as owner have to decide for those things for the on behalf to manage your property manager. Also, from cash flow purposes, long-term and mid-term is more stable, whereas short-term can be very variables. And also, for particular areas, the government still has ability to decide, even though this area they allowed Airbnb, they can ban Airbnb just by implement municipal policy. So there's a risk. Even though as Airbnb, short-term rental is operable now, it could be stopped. It can be stopped by the government tomorrow. You just never know. Also, in terms of vacancy risk, long-term rental is very stable, very low vacancy. Typically in Tokyo, 23 wards. The vacancy is only around like 5% or so, whereas for short-term, the vacancy varies a lot. It really depends on the season and then if there's any... Okay, here's back. Okay, so for next, when we think about long-term rentals, there's like different type of properties, right? Do we want to buy a single unit studio, or do we want to buy one bedroom, or two bedroom, or three bedrooms? Those are the options we have to look at, and also in terms of deciding which room type has the best profitability, we have to look at the geographic, how it fares in the next decade or so. So here's a chart published by the Japanese government. There's a trend for a single person household. It's growing quite a lot in terms of absolute population and also in terms of the percentage of the household. Both of them are on the upward trend. So that tells us the single studio, single occupancy studio type probably be one of the room type has the most demand in the next 10 years. Also, Tokyo has seen a net influx of 65,000 people, so mainly are young workers. They're from the regional prefectures for corporate jobs. Also, a lot of foreigners coming to Tokyo looking for jobs, usually in the services industry. So we can see a huge demand for studio-type units in Tokyo. And those are the types that's easiest to get bank financing as well. Okay, next we're going to talk about financeable properties. Not all properties are financeable. So number one, the easiest to get financing is long-term rentals. It could be condos or apartment buildings. Bank really prefers long-term rental because it gives them stabilities. So they can underwrite based on the income the property is going to bring in. And next, the building itself has to be young enough, meaning under 10 years or younger. If it's too old, the book value for wooden structure is only 25 years. If it's too old, the bank would give it not give it too much value, then you wouldn't be able to get any financing out of the building. And third, it has to be probably near the major stations, meaning less than 10 minutes walk, or 15 minutes walk if it's a bigger terminal station. That's another requirement. Lastly, it has to be rebuildable, located in the major metropolitan areas with a stable rental demand. Those are the basic requirements. The bank will look at the property. So we want to make sure that your property fits this description. Then it will be easy to get bank financing because not all properties are financeable. All right, lastly, I think everybody's very interested in how to get a loan as a foreigner. In addition to the property itself, the bank also look at your income level. So from your foreign source income, the annual income should be somewhere above 15 million Japanese yens. Or if you don't meet this income test, you can meet this liquid net assets requirements. Usually, if you can produce bank statement or any liquid as stock brokerage documents showing you have more than 50% of the purchase price in your bank account, then the bank will also be willing to loan it to you. And of course, you have to come up with a 40% down payment. That's one of the biggest hurdles for most of our foreign non-resident borrowers. And lastly, we need a local person as representatives because the bank requires that. It's not a law. It's not required by law. You can still be the local directors for your own company, but you need a local person as a representative so the bank can call them and have this local person come into the office to sign the documents on your behalf. So all the loans the bank in Japan loan to foreigners are based on the property itself, meaning it's a non-recourse. If you ever die or anything happened to you, you don't have to pay back. The bank will just focus on the properties and you don't owe anything. All right, and next I'm gonna talk about why do we use corporate entity? What's the benefits of using the corporate entity structures? Number one, the biggest for inheritance tax plannings. So if you use corporate entities, whatever happened to you, you can just pass it on very easily to your children, especially if you have multiple of them. Whereas if you're holding a personal name, then you're going to be in trouble because Japanese inheritance tax could be very heavy. And next is, of course, for tax saving. If you use a corporate entity, you have very broad business expenses are allowable, whereas if you hold it under your personal name, only the expenses related to your property itself, such as property tax or any acquisition costs, can be deductible. Nothing else. All right, Zave just told me that I only get 5 minutes left, so here's what we can help.
Only if you want to do Q&A.
So here's how we can help. We can help you source a deal, and we can also help you financing it, and we can also help you manage the property. And that's a really successful way to become a passive real estate investor. Okay, that's it. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you.
We will now have a few minutes of Q&A, so you raise your hands.
Go ahead.
There we go. So if you give me
raised hands, guys, this is for questions, okay? If you want to introduce yourselves or your projects, there's the break room for that.
That's a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. Real quick.
Is the capitation koku be affected if you are an applicant for the loan living abroad versus to those who are already living here?
There's no difference.
Sorry, could you, were you using this mic for the Q&A? Because that one is not connected to the stream.
Okay, so
can you just repeat her question
for
the people?
Thanks. Okay, so I'll repeat the questions. So the question was, is there any difference between the borrowers who are already residing in Japan or the borrowers residing overseas and never come to Japan? The answer is there's no difference. It doesn't matter whether you live overseas, never come to Japan, or you live in Japan already. The requirements is going to be the same.
My question is.
Oh, sorry, I think the gentleman was first. Sorry about that.
No, okay.
Wait,
can go. This is the mic. This is the microphone.
And then I'll run over there.
Oh, okay, sounds great. Okay.
I'll be right there.
Okay.
All right. She said, if you're a foreigner, you pay 40 to 45% down payment. Japanese person pays zero. Okay. Yeah. The question is. Is it fair for us to pay 40 to 45%, for foreigners to pay 40 to 45%, and the foreigner and the Japanese pays zero down payment? But is that fair? Is that the law?
Yeah.
Is that the law? Is that fair? Is that discrimination to us, okay, foreigners?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's great not discrimination at all.
Great question, but it's not within our power to solve here.
Yeah. Because those are different type of loans, right? As Japanese residents, you can borrow on your credit, meaning you have in-country income that the bank is relying on your income and also your credit as source of the payment. Whereas a foreigner, we don't have any foreign income at all. We never even come to the to Tokyo. And all the bank can rely is the building itself. Where that's why they require you to put more down payment. It's a totally different loan product.
It should be illegal. That kind of
But that's the difference between a commercial loan and a loan for your personal residence.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
Okay, folks, Alicia is moving to the breakout room. If you want to have a more interactive discussion, we can do it there later. Folks, can we please give Alicia her time to answer questions here, and we can have the discussions in another room after the presentation? Please.
Okay. All right. We good?
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yes.
Hey, so Alicia, I just want to refer. I'll be quick. I want to refer to your slide.
Okay.
So you mentioned long-term rentals, simple, no tax for the rental income. Can you elaborate on that? And how long does a rental need to be rented in order to be qualified as a long-term? Over. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you for the great question. 30 days or longer, that'll be qualified as long-term rentals. And for those rental incomes, you don't have to be to be paying consumption tax on it. Whereas short-term rentals, you have to pay consumption tax. You have to collect from your whoever books it, and you have to remit it to the government, which is another cost. Oh, go ahead, Christine.
It's sort of been my understanding that the standard form of contract for a tenant is that once they're in, they can live there for their life, right? So they kind of have this guaranteed right of being able to continually renew at not much of an appreciated rate. Do you see that changing in the Japanese tenancy laws? Are the property management companies now able to write different contracts that allow for increasing the rent over time?
Yeah, that's a great question. That as has been the assumption in Japan that once you're in, you're locked with your old rental and the landlord cannot raise the rent, which is not true anymore. Especially with this smaller single studio type, what we have is that people tend to move every 4 or 5 years or so because they're young, single. Once they have a girlfriend, they want to move into like 1 or 2 bedroom, right? So with this type of studio, people tend to rotate a lot faster than the bigger units. That's why we prefer this kind of smaller units, where as soon as one tenant's moved out, we're going to raise rent immediately, because currently the market, the rent has been going up pretty steadily and at a pretty big percentage. So sometimes we can see like even 10% of jump when one tenant moved out and the next tenant moved in. That has been the norm in Tokyo now.
It's also not entirely correct. They have a legal leg to stand on if they want to say that you're unreasonably raising the rent or unreasonably asking them to move out, because the laws are tenant-oriented. But if there is a justified reason for either, then that's an option, definitely. And to avoid this entire situation, you can also offer them compensation of what it'll cost them to move out, which is normally somewhere between 6 to 10 months' worth of rent. We've done that many times. We haven't had that many issues. Do we have other hands? Other questions in the room? Yes.
Pardon, hello. Thank you for the information. I was just wondering, for people who already have loans with real estate, how does that affect the ability to buy additional buildings? Like, how many can you actually acquire before, and how does the bank look at that?
Yeah, so the first thing I would like to ask is, do you have income in Japan? Okay, yeah. So you're in one of the exceptions. if you have income in Japan, it really depends on how much income you have, your debt and assets ratio, right? That's a different category. And you have a lot more options to get financing. You can get probably 100% financed if your debt to income ratio or debt to asset ratio are good. Different banks have different underwriting standards. But if we're only talking about non-resident loans, it's pretty much limited to only borrow 60% of the purchase price. And it's usually the max amount you can borrow would be somewhere around 300 million Japanese yen.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, of course, yes.
Okay.
We do sorry, guys.
Oh, we can move over to the next room, yeah, for a question.
Give us a second.
Hi, great presentation. I like your idea of living in the 12th unit of a 12-unit place. But I don't want to live in a 1K with my family of four in a dachiku right now. So do you ever see, since you've researched it, do you ever see like a big unit on top of rental units?
Yeah, definitely.
Or that kind of a thing?
Yeah, definitely have that actually. One of the deals we have currently is that it has 24 units. Those are bigger units. And the owner can combine two or three units together and you can live there for free and have the rest of the 20 units and finance for that unit for you.
So it's like breaking walls is the best way to do it?
No, breaking walls, because all the deals we do is ground-up development. If you, early enough, we can talk to the developer. We can just customize it for you.
Sorry, what was the other question? Somebody was asking, can I ask a question here? What was that, some lady? Yes.
We are resident here, mm-hmm. but I have four property. They come income, okay? And business, too, different. Mm-hmm. They can work with a bank that...
Yeah, definitely. If it's all paid, all cash, right?
Yes, all cash.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we can do it. So like a takeout loan, basically. If the,
like my property can be like warranty for their...
Exactly, yeah. It can be the collateral for the loan. Let's say your property is worth $100, then typically the bank may be willing to loan you 50% of the kind of value of the property. It really depends on the property locations. And
it's like I get like 500,000 yen per month rent.
It's less on the rent. It's more like the value of the property itself.
Oh, it's not that for the...
As collateral. So there's different, really, underwriting standards we can talk about later in the breakout room.
Okay. Thank you.
Each bank has their own underwriting standard as well.
Okay. I will go.
Thank you, Alicia. Yeah, Alicia will be in the breakout room following this presentation in just about in a few minutes. One more question we can take. I saw another hand here somewhere. No, any questions in the stream? Let me just have a quick look. Just a quick one. Sorry, Alicia. No. Okay. Thank you very much, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
We've got a 5-minute.